After Buzzers, before we move on, we would like to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, plus there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. And it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Presented by AfterBuzz TV, where integral members of the WWE, Kathy Kelly, Sonya Deville, and Christy St. Cloud started their careers. This is Women's Pro Wrestling Weekly, the first online pro wrestling show dedicated to all things women's pro wrestling, showcasing news and interviews with top superstars in the industry. And now, AfterBuzz's own gorgeous hosts of wrestling.
Welcome, guys. We have another amazing show for you guys today. You are watching Women's Pro Wrestling Weekly. My name is TK Trinidad, and we have our special co-host, or my special co-host, I can say, Sarah the Rebel.
I'm special to you. Hello.
Give me goosebumps on the side. And of course, America's sweetheart.
Yeah, TK. I like when you set me up, girl. What's going on?
Evan T. Mac. So we're obviously going to be doing news. We're going to do a Star to Watch, all that good stuff. But we have a very, 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 very special guest in with us today. She hails from the city that never sleeps. Mm. She's been seen on Shimmer, Shine, TNA, and she's one of the competitors for the Mae Young Classic. Please welcome Mardi Bell.
Hey. Hey, guys. How's everybody doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's pretty nice here in Kansas City. It's a nice day, so I'm definitely enjoying it.
Okay, so let's get into it. So you were on Mae Young last year. Did they call you, because we're not sure if they're going to be doing repeats. I've heard they are. Did they call you up for the second season?
I guess you're going to probably just have to watch the network and see what happens. I can't spoil anything. You'll have to see the 32 women selected for this year's Mae Young Classic.
See, you're a good actress, but what happens is that the folks who didn't get called, they don't smile like you are smiling.
Yeah.
So,
man. I'm a really happy person, though. I'm usually smiling. I'm always smiling, so
I'm just, you know, just putting out there. Well, we will be happy to see you on the Mae Young Classic. So let's just get into a lot of different stuff. So after you finished Mae Young Classic, what happened after that? What was the process as far as talking to WWE, other promotions?
Well, for the last year, I've been based out of Kansas City. I was working mainly exclusively for a company in Kansas City called NWL, and they would give me permission basically to go work for places like Shimmer, and obviously when WWE came calling for the Mae Young Classic last year, they were all about it and allowed me to go work for the for WWE doing the Mae Young Classic. It was such a crazy honor that honestly, if they hadn't let me go, I probably would have asked out of my contract anyway. So it was great. It was a The response has been amazing. I didn't make it as far, obviously, as I wanted to in the tournament, but it was an amazing experience. I got to represent the Dominican Republic, not just in front of millions of people, but in a WWE ring, which was very, very important to me. I think anybody who saw the Parade of Champions saw how much that meant to me, and it was just an insane experience. But I've definitely been trying to, you know, just keep working. I've been, now that the company that I was working for is no longer active, I'm back on the indie, so I'm back to, right after the company closed, I was at Shimmer the next day, so that was pretty awesome. Shimmer's always been really good to me, and it's great to be able to go back to places I used to work, and I'm working all over the Midwest now, which, being from New York, is not something I ever thought I'd be doing. Like, I never thought I'd be wrestling in Iowa, but here I am, right. Friday, we wrestle. So it's pretty awesome. The doors that have been opened, or the doors I've been able to kick in because of it.
Can you tell us about that promotion, like the World Class Pro Wrestling promotion, and like how your experience was with that?
Well, that company I've only worked for one time. That's not who I moved out here to work for. World Class, I was able to work for last week, wrestling Lisa Marie, yeah, which was amazing. It was the first time that Lisa and I have ever stepped into the ring together, and the first time I actually really gotten to talk to her. I met her in the Shimmer locker room one time. She was there back when she had her restaurant in Chicago. So she's
it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Stopped in just to say hello to all the girls, and I've always heard such nice things about her, and you know, I've admired her work for so long, and finally to be able to not only meet her and like get to talk to her and like get advice from her, get feedback from her, but also to wrestle her in what was like a really fun, like hard-hitting match was amazing. So I really enjoyed working for World Class, so I'm excited to see what's next for me with them.
Cool.
Awesome. So what made you, what got you interested in wrestling in the first place?
I grew up watching wrestling. I started watching wrestling when I lived in the Dominican Republic. When I was 7, I moved back to New York to live full time. And my cousins and I used to watch wrestling every single day we could in my grandma's living room. And wrestling was just like the perfect thing for me. I grew up watching novelas. So that was like one of my favorite things. I grew up playing sports. Wrestling just married everything that I loved, and I got the opportunity in 2008, actually, to go to Johnny Rod's school in Brooklyn to just to help out, to valet and, you know, do a little bit of managing and stuff like that. And then a year later, I started wrestling. And once here, I thought I was going to be able to just go and like, oh, I'll just be a valet. Like, I'm not really interested in wrestling or anything. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And once I was around it, I mean, basically almost 10 years later, here I am. So and even when I've taken a break from it, there was a while working for NWL here in Kansas City where I wasn't wrestling for about 6 months. I was doing the backstage corresponding. I was doing ring announcing. I was doing just interviewing other things. But man, like the itch to wrestle just does not go away. So I just had to start wrestling. That was basically how I started. I couldn't not do it.
No, yeah, that's perfect. You're pretty much a multitasker. So you ring announcer, TV host, backstage reporter. You've played softball. You've done other sports, volleyball, acting, all that stuff. And obviously you're wrestling now. Is there anything that you want to do like in the future or something that you're gearing up to do? Because it just seems like you're good at everything. So.
Well, thank you. Sometimes I don't feel, it's hard to not feel like you're spreading yourself thin sometimes when I'm like, maybe I should just focus on being a great, amazing wrestler and not just like a good wrestler who can also do this, this, and this. But it's so hard when there's so many things that just, you know, that just excite me, that just make me passionate. So I don't know. There's just so much. There's so much left to do. I still want to do more in the Latin market, I think. With Spanish being my first language, my whole family being either in the Dominican Republic, or we all have so many roots. My parents still live there, so I obviously still have very strong ties to the island. I would love to work on the island, whether it be, you know, with movies going forward that are shooting there, mm-hmm. or I don't know. I just there's just a lot more that I still have to do.
Whenever you have like a free moment, like away from wrestling, when you're not, you know, traveling, like what do you do in your spare time? What do you like to do?
I don't know. So I like to read. I do like to read a lot. I do a lot of reading. Both I have a little library collection here in my living room, which is where we are right now. but I don't even know anymore. I used to. I love animals. So back when I lived in Ohio, just any chance I got, I would take my dog out. Because I love my dog. He's an amazing little fur ball. Aww. He's not furry at all, but he's my fur ball. I don't know. I'm at the point where I sometimes just want to come home and do absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Just binge mm-hmm. watch something on Netflix. A lot of my Sundays after a long weekend are spent in bed. Like I'll get up to maybe eat and I'm back in bed. I think reading is probably one of the only things that because that's something I can do no matter where I am. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of books on my phone, so no matter where I am, I can pick it up and do that. And that's also a good way to kind of like almost detox. I wish I could say that working out was like one of my passions, but it's really not.
Yeah. Amen.
I wish it was. Like, I have people that are like, oh my gosh, I had such a killer workout. I'm like, oh yeah, I had an okay workout. It was fine.
Yeah, I got it done.
I did it.
Yeah. So
it seems like you have,
I did wish that working out was more of like one of my passions.
It seems like you have the island mentality where you have like five jobs and like to have like a hobby. It's like, what? No. We just do things.
I mean, back in the day, sports were my hobby. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of it's kind of different when you've turned that into your job. You've turned that. It's gone from just being your hobby to being your passion to then being how you make a living. So I don't know. I've always thought about that. I'm like, sometimes I have downtime and I'm like, I feel like I should be doing something. Should I be knitting?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I'm not a great knitter. I can knit in a straight line, so I can make a scarf maybe. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like I should find something to do, but I just don't know what that is.
That would be for people who have one job.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah,
yeah, the fact that you have many jobs, I think you're good. Now you have mentioned in the past that when you started in the beginnings of you wrestling, they were telling you that you need to straighten your hair or your hair should be straight. Mm. Obviously, you went against that and you did you. Have you ever experienced any type of, you know, racial bias as far as overtly or covertly? While you're in the industry,
I think thankfully a lot of things have changed. I think that people, not just women of color, not just people of color, but women of color, because I think we're starting to make our mark more and more, not just in this industry but in every industry. And besides, like, it's hard because I feel like if something has happened because of my race or because of the way I look, it's never been said to me. Like, there might be opportunities I never got because of that. Mm-hmm. I know that there's one promotion that I've tried to work for in a different country. I won't say who it is, but I've tried working for them in the past, and I finally reached out to one of my friends and I was like, hey, like, I know that you work for so and so, like, I've reached out to them, like, what, like, what's the deal? And they were like, oh, yeah, they only bring in white girls with big boobs. And I was like, oh, okay, well.
There you go.
Well, I guess it's not happening. But I guess I never, like, I don't get offended by that. I was just like,
They're lost, right?
Yeah. Like, whatever. Like, if that's, if you're gonna like, limit yourself to that, then cool. That's what you're going to limit yourself to. But, I mean, and even, like, the hair comment that I got, I get people who still will be like, oh, you should straighten your hair. And I'm like, well, I don't want to. I could if I wanted to. I can. I've done it before.
Right.
I'm not against doing it, but I am not my hair. I am not my skin color. Mm. I'm not even my gender. I am who I am.
Oh, I should play that song.
I don't think that I should gain or lose opportunities because of the way I look. It's more about my skills and what I bring to the table.
Now, have you applied or thought of or been approached about going overseas, like Japan or Mexico, places like that?
Yes, I have been in talks with a few places in Mexico. Mexico has always been my dream. Mm-hmm. Ever since I was a little girl, I always, even before I was a wrestler, I had dreams of living and working in Mexico. I think, and it just stems back to, I grew up watching novelas, and that Colombia, Mexico, Venezuela, like, those were the hotbeds for novelas. And I think that's kind of always, like, stayed in the back of my mind. So now with wrestling, I'm like, well, this is the greatest opportunity. And now with NWL closing, it kind of feels like the sky's the limit to where I can go and what I can do. So I've definitely been in talks with some people for Mexico, and hopefully that'll come into play in the next few months. I haven't talked to anybody in Japan, and it's more just, I don't know, it's more of me not having reached out. I think my focus, like I said, has just always been Mexico. I would not be opposed to working in Japan, of course. I think it'd be a good challenge for me. I think it would help me grow as a wrestler, as a person, as a performer, everything. So I definitely think Japan is also something that's in my near future.
Has your heritage, like, influenced your persona in the ring? Like, but if so, like, how has it, like, helped you develop your character inside the ring, you bring in your culture?
It's interesting because when people ask me what my character is, I'm like, oh my gosh, I have no idea. It's me. I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, in the ring, I feel like, even like, no matter if I'm, you know, if I'm what I'm supposed to be doing, like, am I supposed to be the good guy, the bad guy? Well, we're not sure. I'm always going to be super sassy. And I think that's just kind of my personality. I get that a lot from my grandmother. My grandmother was, like, the sassiest human being I'd ever met in my life. And I thought that was amazing. Like, she always had a comeback for something. She always had something to say. Super feisty. And I think that's not just a part of my culture. That's also just, it's where I grew up. Like, I'm from New York City. I didn't have a choice but to be feisty, but to be sassy. And I grew up with a lot of boys. I grew up playing sports. I grew up a complete tomboy. Like, I had to be tough. You have to have thick skin. And I think that kind of does sometimes me play a little bit into who I am in the ring. But I mean, I'm so proud of where I'm from. I'm proud of being a New Yorker. I'm proud of being a Dominican. Mm-hmm. So I do think I'm proud of being a Latina, an Afro-Latina. I think all those things do come, do kind of shine through, whether it's me speaking Spanish in my promos, whether it's me just, you know, just having my attitude or whatever it is. I have been told several times recently that I'm the nicest New Yorker people have. Like, oh, thank you. My grandmother would be so proud. I think I'm just me at the end of the day.
There you go.
Last two questions. So you were part of Dollhouse. You've wrestled individually. If you can wave like a magic wand, what would you envision your wrestling career in the next year or the next 5 years? Like, what do you want to see?
I think obviously for everyone, our goal is always to not just be able to live off of wrestling, but to make a living. Because there's a big difference of being like, well, you know, I'm doing okay this month. Next month, I'm not so sure. I got to see what my bookings are like. I think at the end of the day, we all want to be able to say that we live good, comfortable lives. I can save for the future. I can start a family when I want because of wrestling. So I think that's really just my goal. I got so used to working full time as a wrestler while working for NWL that's just all I want to get back to. I want to get back to just knowing that I don't have to worry about like, oh man, like, am I going to have enough bookings next month? Or I want to just be able to be like, oh, I'm booked. Like, if you want to book me, man, like, you got to get in right now because I don't know what's going to happen in a few months.
Right.
So I think that's like my main goal is just, I want to be wrestling all the time.
So hypothetically, so like, you know, when and if you do are in the second installment of the Mae Young Classic and when and if you get a contract with WWE, that would be kind of like that would be kind of the goal,
Oh, obviously WWE has always been a goal for me. I became a wrestler because I was in love with WWF. I became a wrestler because I watched the Divas back in the day. I watched, you know, I watched so many of the girls that are currently on WWE television, whether it be NXT, SmackDown, Raw, or girls that either I watched on television, somebody like Mickie James, who I adore and is one of my favorite wrestlers of all times. You know, I either grew up watching them or I came up with them, like Ruby Riott, Sarah Logan, Ember Moon. Like, these are all girls that I respect and love so much, and nothing would make me happier than to be on the road with them. So of course it's and to get to represent the American Republic, not just the American Republic, but represent Latin America in general, I think would be such a, like, it would mean so much to me and everybody who's ever followed my career or even taken the time to Google me or look me up or just even knows who I am.
Yeah, diversity on a different level. Well, I know, speaking of diversity and being Afro-Latina, you have a lot of jobs you have to run off. But we definitely appreciate you for coming on the show. We will have to make some time where we can kind of get that hour in and get all up into the business. But
all up in your
I'm sure maybe when or after the Mae Young Classic, we'll get that interview, see how the experience went. All that good stuff. But thank you so much for coming on the show. We really, really appreciate it.
Guys, so much. I really appreciate your time, and we definitely will catch up soon.
Thanks. Thank you. Have a good one.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
She was awesome.
Oh, she's lovely.
She's definitely nice for a New Yorker.
Yeah.
Tony Tao. We ready to hit that news? Let's gonna get start with it.
Okay.
Tony.
Yeah.
You guys can hear me, right?
Yeah. Listen, TK, okay, extra. Read all about it. Hot off the presses.
I was about to do some JB and Marley after that.
The news is lit, man. Listen, okay. All right. Okay, this is about how WWE views differences between China and Paige's adult content. Listen, let me be clear. I love WWE. I'm a company man. I got a WWE tattoo on, permanent ink on the right arm.
Really?
But real talk right here.
See,
but they are going overboard.
It's dedication, right?
Yeah,
there.
It's dedication for real.
Wait, do you have your wife's name on tattoo?
I do. It's a Kryptonian.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah, it's in Kryptonian.
Are you about to show us? I feel like you leave.
I mean, because you have WWE and you don't have your wife's name.
Wouldn't that be crazy? Yeah. I know, right? She has the same tattoo. But anyway, listen, for real, this is kind of crazy because as much as I love the company, like the quote that they brought out explaining what is the difference between China and Paige is kind of crazy. Saying, well, the answer is there are two exceedingly different situations. China did hers willingly. China went out and shot a porn tape. Paige had videos from her phone stolen and put on the internet. Mm-hmm. It's totally different. One person was a victim, and the other went out there and did it willingly. End quote, ladies. What y'all think about that? I'll let Sarah start with that.
Okay, so I can't even comprehend the thought process behind that statement. On the one level, yes, sure. Okay, well, one is a victim and one chose to do it willingly. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that sentence he said makes sense.
I'm sure Paige didn't want it to get out, someone to steal it from her phone. Correct. So that's where the victim part comes
right.
in, per se.
But what a thing to basically say that women being empowered, women making their own choices, women choosing to do something, he's basically saying she's a bad guy. Mm-hmm. He's saying, well, China went out and did a naughty, bad thing. Mm-hmm. Paige doing a naughty, bad thing in her house was fine.
Well, it was in a hotel.
In a hotel, in the locker room, on top of a championship belt, whatever. I'm not shaming, girl. Get it in where you fit in, literally. But just the fact that... That's the mindset behind it is that because you know they've put their own women into Playboy before, right? They were like, hey Sable, this is the thing you're doing.
Yeah.
But because China, it almost seems like it's because China did it.
The
and
bra
that really
panty
bothers
matches,
me.
Like I mean, that's
right.
All
the mud, there was like a Jello or mud match at least once in my childhood, and I didn't like it. So it really bothered me to hear it's stated that way because it suggests that women who choose to do that as a job are bad people and are villains versus the other thing we had heard before, which is just, oh, well, what if you Google the name? Mm-hmm. That's the excuse we heard before.
But that's not the first thing. I'm going to check that. But I don't think that's the first thing that comes up when you Google China.
I don't think so either.
So
what's your take on that?
First off, here's just an overall take, and I can't remember where I said it, but I has to be a sentence on my tombstone. If you are going to be taking naked pictures and or sex tapes, a lot of hours of sex tape, just make sure you're looking good. So kudos on Paige for just like whatever, and kudos for Xavier not getting fired.
Seriously.
But I mean, like nothing. There was no one. They didn't say anything. They didn't address it. The only time they addressed is when they had that rap battle between the Usos and New Day. That was the one time that they addressed it in the WWE universe. So kudos to both of them. Not hating on them. I'm just saying, if you have a sex tape, just make sure you look good because that sex tape is eventually going to get out somewhere.
Yes.
And just say and what. This is nothing new. They've been, sandbagging on China for years. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody else, I don't want to compare the two, but it's just like Hulk Hogan not being in the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of like when you think of wrestling, like back in the day, you think of Hulk Hogan.
There's no question.
Right? And, majority of, I think as Booker T just said, he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame, too.
There's no question.
As majority of black folks... who that word offends is saying he needs to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, so, yeah, you can't argue his Hall of Fame status.
Right.
Yeah.
So I just think that it's one of those things where I think eventually she might get into the Hall of Fame, but it will be, maybe when we're all gray and it's a different change of the guards. Some folks have moved on. They've seen, a different light. And women...
Literally, he's going to follow the light, die. Yeah. That's what the implication was.
and then also, literally, as women, women wrestlers in general, we're going into your own and all this other stuff, that they're going to have more of a say. Mm. And I think the majority of women are going to want China to be, because she was a trend center.
Yeah, that's the only thing that bothers me. We're not talking about some, chick, that was... in there for like 5 seconds though.
Right.
We're talking about like female won the Intercontinental title.
Yeah.
Talking about she's for lack of a better term, she's a wrestling icon.
She is.
In the era that she did it in, that attitude era, that little chunk of time where she was body slamming grown men for a living. Like she's not chopped liver though. Just not act like she's some kind of little tiny footnote in the annals of WWE.
And the thing is, when you Google her name, if you do Google and you do news, the first thing that comes up is Black China. So that's not the first thing that comes up. And then when you do all, it has, her sharing like family videos. You know, that's not the first. You don't think of you do have the rambling video that she had, but like I think about a month or two before she passed away. Mm. But that's not the first thing that comes.
And there
you know.
Are plenty of worse things that pop up for plenty of the older guy wrestlers mm-hmm. too, because as we all know, drugs were a bit of an issue during yeah. that time period. They didn't have as strict wellness policies. So just the whole thing now kind of crumples a bit more for me. Mm-hmm. If we want to say, oh no, it's a perfectly reasonable thing. We don't want kids to find accidental China porn, but nope. Like, now you've kind of revealed that you guys just really have a bone to pick with China.
And then,
yeah,
speaking of porn, like Mandy Rose walking down the... Yeah. That's perfect timing.
No, go ahead. No, finish that. Finish that. Finish that.
Like Mandy Rose walking down the...
Yeah, like, that's real close. That's PG-13
porn. That was
porn.
Like soft core right there.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think... I don't know. I don't know what they're thinking. I think the people are... One rule of thought is because of Stephanie McMahon and Triple H and Triple H relationship with China. That was, you know, that's whole thing. But then it feels like that's very petty.
And who holds on to that? Yeah, exactly. Who holds on to that for so long? You've got him. You've got your thing. You've got your kids.
Right.
Clearly, everything worked out wonderful.
Right. Mm-hmm. But it's also on the flip side, it could be that, you know, you live in a certain world. Hmm. And, you know, what we may think of as petty might not be, and she's in a position for it not to happen. So, I mean, I'm hoping that's not the case. Maybe they're waiting for a certain period of time. I don't know. I mean, it's just, you know, it would be kind of cool if Sean, X-Pac, and China get into the Hall of Fame at the same
yeah.
time.
That'd be nice,
you know,
though.
Next year or two.
It'd just be a nice touch. And if you guys are worried about that, yeah, like, put them in as, like, a, you know, like, at the same time. And, like, because
yeah.
what they're saying is, like...
Sean had a sex tape, too.
Yeah.
Well, I mean... They were, yeah, and he's been on the show,
right?
But like 25th anniversary,
yeah. But they're acting like China just can't, like they're gonna go to the Hall of Fame and they're gonna be like, okay, China, what's going on?
Oh
here?
No,
yeah.
China, I've never heard. Of, oh my god, oh, you know, like what? No.
And it's just like that when they were gonna name the gosh, was the Battle Royale?
After. Oh, yeah, after me. That's exactly what I was thinking about.
After Moolah.
After Moolah, the fact that they have no problem. You know, there's accusations that Moolah did horrible things to Sweet Georgia Brown.
A laundry list.
And,
seriously.
And, you know, some people say it's not true. Some people say it is. You know, regardless, they felt perfectly comfortable with mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. So, again, just a lot of these excuses are just starting to yeah. crumple.
All right, let's move on.
He did ring the bell, didn't he, though? Yes, we just got
we
the...
were like, not listening. Not listening. You should have kept ringing it like the referee.
Oh, that's what after we talked to Marty Bell, they just said they're doing the Mae Young Classic Part 2. And
that's how they're gonna do it.
That's as far as I think. Was that French? That's the best
that's,
more French
yeah,
that I know.
Too. That's it. You are correct.
All right. Yeah, cool. Yes. They said they're gonna be doing the tapings August 7th and August 8th at Full Sail University. Mm-hmm. I just want to know what you ladies can expect. What are you hoping to expect? Who do you want to see?
So many women.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, of course, all my favorites that I've interviewed. Obviously, you know, we're definitely
Ivelisse.
Well, yeah, Ivelisse for sure. Now I've spoken to Marty Bell. I would definitely want to see her again. It's so interesting for myself personally, watching Mae Young last year compared to the interviews and the research and all this other stuff, like the context of it. And I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people in the WWE universe that don't know that there's a whole sea of women
Pierce.
That, you know, are qualified that could make that, you know, beyond the contract issues and all that stuff, that can make the Mae Young Classic.
I'm definitely hoping to see Ariel Monroe and mm-hmm. Willow Nightingale. Like I said before, Shimmer always has a bunch of great women as well. Mm-hmm. I know that a lot of the women, too, that I would like to see can't do it for various reasons. For example, indie wrestlers will wrestle with injuries they have no idea they have because they usually don't have insurance.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Jazzy.
And the fact that they didn't catch Jazzy's was interesting as well, but they did catch a bunch of other people's. And also, if you've done anything like Suicide Girls, you're not eligible to be in the Mae Young Classic. So, yeah.
Oh.
So that knocked out one of my other favorites, so she couldn't be in it.
Go ahead, Tika.
Hopefully, we did speak to Jazzy. I think she was actually our first interview, but she's good now. So hopefully, and she was pretty much signed before they found out the injury. So hopefully, she gets a second chance you know, she gets signed, because it's just kind of one of those things that, you know, the opportunity was there and, you know, the body gave out. So definitely hoping for that. But I don't know. It just seems like there's so many women there that I wouldn't pick the women from NXT because they already have a platform. Mm-hmm. So I want to see a whole bunch of other, like, I want those 30 spots to be filled by, like, indie folks.
I think we'll see Jessamyn Duke at least in there as well. Mm-hmm. She was training with Shayna at Santino Bros originally. And I think we've seen a few hints.
Yeah.
So I think she might be in there.
They're both at the Performance Center. There's two of them at the Performance Center now.
I'm trying to remember who the other person is, and my brain's just blanking.
Yeah.
But Jessamyn is definitely one of them. Mm-hmm. I got to wrestle with her briefly in part of a seminar, and she's really awesome and nice.
Awesome. So do you ladies see any, like, this classic getting bigger on a bigger stage, or they're going to keep it, like, you know what I mean? Like,
I hope they have better commentators this year. I'm not saying that the commentators were bad, but what they
did, Jim Ross was one of them.
It was, and Jim Ross is great. JR was great, except that what, I don't know if you noticed, but all they talked about throughout the matches was just their past, and their gimmick.
Right.
They weren't actually, like, doing what most normal commentary,
calling
the match. Right, Lita was trying, bless her heart.
Yeah.
And you could see they got more comfortable with the two of them, but I think they need a third person.
With
and
more knowledge on the indie women.
And just talk more about the wrestling. And, you know, a lot of JR's comments on the wrestling were simply, oh, rookie mistake. And, you know, that doesn't really make the women look great. The commentary really bothered me on the Mae Young Classic.
Well, I mean, I think from... I feel like I need to watch it back again as far as the commentary, but I think maybe from their point of view, and maybe even from them, because if they're in the WWE universe and that's all they watch, because again, when you break
I feel it, you, but if you say she was in the yacht club 8 more times about Kairi Sane, I mean, we get it. She was in the yacht club. That's pretty cool. She's also this wrestler who does this really sick
She's
elbow
amazing,
drop.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to talk about her being in the yacht
that
club
too.
About 8 times.
Oh, man.
So I just like one more. And I think there are a lot of women who do ring announcing, do commentary. Melissa Santos would be amazing to hear on the commentary. I mean, I think there are options.
I think this, maybe not this year, but if it continues, this would be a setup to a women's show.
That's what I wanted to do.
I don't, again, you know, you already know my, there's just too much wrestling to watch personally.
Right.
But, that would be perfect. I don't know if they're going to roll it out this year. They have enough of a roster to do that.
They definitely do.
But that would be a nice rollout, like after the Mae Young, it rolls out into a women's, hour women's show.
I would love it. I would watch it. It gives women more of opportunities to show their skills on their stage.
Yeah. The only thing that I'm worried about...
We'll never know.
I know. Right? the only thing I'm worried about is the storylines. Because as we were talking to her, I don't know if we're going to get into that as far as the next story, but, you know, are there women are in the writing room writing stories? Because
Four women.
So, you know, that would be my concern, because there's only so many best friend breakups and you stole my boyfriend.
I'm a mean girl.
Yeah, you know, the mean girl thing. There's only so many, and we're way more... you know, diverse.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I'm sure we'll get into it later, but what's going on with Nia and Ronda is a good example. Like, literally, could they not just be two competitors?
Just wrestling.
Just like how guys are?
I could try that on for size and see how it fits, man.
No, they're women. It has to be women.
Yeah, I've noticed that, too, because that whole how it even started, like how Nia came up to her on the red carpet in New York, like, what?
Yeah, it was so
And then
strange.
Charlotte putting her hands around, like, what?
Yeah, I was like, what am I being told?
Yeah, like, you know.
Simplify just, this for me.
Yeah, it doesn't feel as, you know, I don't know. Like, it just, like, for instance, if you take Shinsuke and AJ Styles, like, you know, they were friends at one point, now they're not. You can kind of almost create a whole storyline for him, because he came in and, you know, he came in and you're thinking, okay, he's going to get the belt eventually, and he hasn't. So you can kind of see that pattern. You can kind of see, you know, how everything's kind of evolved beyond not even saying much.
Right.
So it's just kind of like, you can do that. So I don't know if that necessarily has to do with the writers, but that's of a concern, or it has to do with the women being comfortable in that position where they can give out those cues, those nonverbal cues, and tell a story. So it might be the combination of both, but, you know, as much wrestling that I'm watching at the moment, I'm getting weary of, you know, the generic story.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, moving on, ladies. Alexa Bliss offers encouragement to a young fan. It was at MegaCon. Young lady walked up to Alexa and asked her about, you know, having an eating disorder, and, like, Alexa gave her, like, this powerful like comment, and it was because she's recovering from eating disorder, and, mm-hmm. and you know, Alexa Bliss gave her like encouragement. I just want to know what you ladies think about like women wrestlers, especially getting the opportunity to, you know, talk about a serious issue like outside of wrestling when they get mm-hmm. an opportunity to like, you know, help a young fan or help a person that's going through a certain thing or something they're similarly been through in the past.
Well, I mean, I believe they do this all the time.
Yeah, they do. I just don't think it gets highlighted as much like in these kind of candid moments, you know what I mean? When they do the big BSR campaign.
What can we really say about that? Like, she couldn't say, well, keep up with that eating disorder.
I'm just saying,
I just think it's a good moment, you know, to just give her that, just to talk about it for a second, you know what I mean? Because it's, I think it's really nice to see sometimes.
Yeah. I mean,
I guess I'm with you. I'm such a jaded old lady, though. Like, we see these feel-good videos a lot, and sometimes I'm like, who put this out there?
Yeah. I don't know, man. So people just don't handle things that well, though. You know what I mean? So people don't know
Finn
how to handle it.
Finn Balor also had a really, you know, there's plenty of these wrestlers who have stories to share. Usually if you're a wrestler, you have kind of an interesting life.
Yeah.
And so it is great that they are given fan opportunities, and it's one of the reasons I would encourage anyone watching, if you are a fan, do try to get out to at least one fan event if you can, because people share, these are really memorable experiences.
Yeah. I mean, they're real people, and that's the good thing about having the social media and stuff like that.
They can tell their stories and all that good stuff.
But then on the flip side, it's like, with the social media, you're trying to tell a story, and then, you know, next thing, all these chicks are hanging out with each other. It's just kind of like, again, this is me watching.
So in New Japan, they actually keep kayfabe all the time, so they can't even take pictures with like people that they're feuding with. Or like when I was in the training camp, one of the trainers couldn't be in any of our photos because he was a bad guy who mm-hmm. shouldn't be there.
Right.
So there are some places that keep it more kayfabe, like you're talking about. I kind of like the blend. I think Kevin Owens is probably the best example of what I would like to see from people, where he's just being funny and also being Kevin Owens mm-hmm. and also being Kevin Steen.
Yeah.
I just think it's different for Americans. Like, Japan can do whatever they want to do, but WWE was hard because the fans, they've killed that, though. You know, they killed the opportunity to do the kayfabe thing. Like, WWE just got to a point where, like, we can only do it semi, because these fans will come out and they'll try to destroy Lita for like sleeping with Edge.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
well, yeah, I think it's definitely the culture, almost like the TMZ culture.
Oh my
it's
God,
like
yeah.
you're gonna investigate. Like when somebody's injured and I know them,
this is what I'm
like
saying.
I am actually sending a text message like,
is this real? Are you okay?
Yeah, like, are you like, what's the deal?
The Japanese are so respectful, and they respect the art form of it. They won't, the fans won't do that.
Right.
Even if you watch an event. Watch the Japanese people at the event. They're really calm and mm-hmm. nice. We don't do that. We're all up in their business.
Well, I mean,
that's fake. It's fake.
That's a culture. And if it's not, what's happening here?
I know. George the Animal Steel was able to still be like a PE teacher his whole time he was wrestling. Because people, you know, we didn't have that level of access to people's lives that we do now.
I mean, the good news with Alexa Bliss and other folks in shows like this is that everybody has a story.
That's what I'm saying.
And, you know, from those stories, you might not get passionate about one thing, but you hear this other person's story and you get passionate about it.
Right.
So, I mean, it just really depends. Like, I was at the CrossFit Games last weekend, and this chick, she was like my first coach at the CrossFit Games. She made it for the 11th time, which is unheard of.
That's ridiculous.
Because technically she could be in the Masters. And she's like, nah, I'm going to go with the regular folks. You know, my regular. And she's like, nah. And then she made it. Top five out of the whole West Coast region, including Canada.
Nice.
Like, that got me up this morning at 4 o'clock in the morning to CrossFit.
It's inspiring.
Nothing gets me up at 4 a.m.
LAX CrossFit. But yeah,
that's all I was trying to say. Just to see when a person's trying to give inspiration or talk about those candid moments when someone's talking about something that they've been through.
Right.
I just think it's cool when superstars look human.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of that.
Like, well, I mean, even Marty Bell's story, I was listening to an interview. She grew up in the Dominican. I believe she was born in New York. Went back to Dominican mm-hmm. when she was three. Then came back, and then her parents were like, you know, we want you to have a better education. So she was like, her grandmother raised her,
wow.
and her parents were in the Dominican. So it's just kind of like, even that story in itself, even Ivelisse's story,
yes,
like
her
stories. Yeah. So it's just kind of crazy in general, but you know, their platforms like this give women stories to tell them.
Yo, oh, Tony, right on time, brother. All right, listen, ladies, here we go. Listen, the Iconics, Future Push, the word on the street, the word out there in the hood.
On them streets.
In the street, listen, in the hood.
Them Australian streets.
Listen, them mean streets of Australia, listen, for real. Well, listen, the merchandise sales are off the charts.
Oh, yeah.
They only have like a shirt, but they have a couple things, but they're selling so much now that the WWE is like thinking to push them like hard push. So I wanted to get your ladies' take on what do you think about them? Because they have one win between the two of them, but that's about to change. So what do you think about
it? Now, this is a good example of these two women should be the mean girls.
Mm-hmm.
They should be the only ones. Everybody else has their own other storylines, mm-hmm. but they're really great at being like, people are comparing them to Lay Cool.
Yeah, Denise. Shout out to Denise. Right. She was saying before they even said that.
Right.
She was like, that's what they're like.
That's what they're like. And it's fine. It works for them. I love that I wish they'd get a little more into like how much they like each other.
I'd love to see that.
Mm-hmm. How tight they are with each other is great. I think they have a lot going for them. But real quick, WWE makes the ugliest merchandise half the time, and they don't make leggings. Personal feud. I've brought it up a few times in other AfterBuzz shows. Y'all need to make leggings. You're ridiculous. You're losing money.
I wear leggings. Y'all need to make leggings.
But people have been talking about how ugly the merch in particular has been recently. So the fact, like, if that's the shirt
it's selling like hotcakes,
then they know they have something big right here because that's the most boring shirt I've ever seen.
Right.
So kudos to them. I'm happy. But if you were online at all, you'd see that people really love them. Mm-hmm. They won, like, what, fan votes and stuff like that for popularity. Like,
I mean, you love to hate them. And I think with the shirts too, because I remember there was a scene where like John Cena was actually like, you know, say like the person brought the sample and he was actually kind of like, no, want this. I think it's either where you are in the company and you can have access to kind of say, I want this and this and that. Or if you're in a certain place, the company is like, you feel like, I don't want to, you know, rock the boat.
Like,
I just have to get
a shirt. Yeah.
So I think with that, because I know with Xavier, like he's very creative. He's very particular.
Yes.
And he knows how he wants stuff
done. He had to work for that, though. Because like when we worked at Loot Crate, we had a wrestling crate.
Mm-hmm.
And we interacted with that team to try and get shirts. And they were not willing to give us cool shirts at all. Mm-hmm. We got just different colors of shirts that already existed. And at the time, you know, Kevin Owens and Jericho were real big. We're like, let's make a best friends one. These boxers are supposed to be one of a kind.
Absolutely.
Right? They were like, nah, Kevin Owens shirts don't sell. And it was just like, so I don't know what the merch team like thinks in their head.
Yeah.
Like, they seem wild right. crazy. Yeah. They also don't tend to have a lot of women's shirts, even for women wrestlers.
Yeah, that's why I was just happy to see Naomi with so many different
ones. Hers have been really cute.
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised, and they sell well. And I was like, well, she has a nice little selection of shirts for a woman. That's
Foxy
a lot.
Has one.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on like them getting the push then?
Well, I think them getting the push is a good thing, and I think also maybe they're thinking on a business side of things as far as people getting shirts. They might order their shirts in like a ridiculous bulk, and it's like, okay, if this person sells this much, then you know we want them to. They almost have like a hard line, so you know they kind of want them to go with.
It's very interesting. As someone who's worked slightly in that field before, it really makes me want to be like, can I come help? What are you doing that these other smaller businesses can do this, but you can't? Like, hi, hello. Let's just chat it up.
Well, that's the big business.
Do you guys think that they're going to interfere in the ladder match though? Because I do.
To influence the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that sounds good.
I mean, I like them, but I also want to see them fight, wrestle.
Because like I said, at the end of the day.
Because eventually, like, I mean, it's almost like when it's like, okay, we love them. And then you don't see them wrestle, and it's like, okay, well, like, they're just almost like glorified ballets, which is fine, but they're not toting them as ballets. So it's just kind of like, you know.
Yeah, people always beat me in the head about like someone being great on the mic, which is I'm a huge advocate of, but at the end of the day, you got to get in the ring. I don't give a damn how good you are on the mic. If you're a wrestler, you got to wrestle eventually. You can't just be mean girl all the time.
Right.
You got to listen, because Naomi go to work.
They've improved a lot
they have.
From where they were before,
mm-hmm.
so. I think they could do it.
I literally text Naomi today. It's like, you need to come out with a hairline, because that would be...
I'm a firm believer she has the greatest weave on earth.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And she does it herself, too. The color.
She does it herself.
That girl's weave is the greatest weave on the planet.
I text her. I'm like, because I was like, what's up with this hairline? Because you need to...
She need to get on make that.
Put the hairline on there. Put the leggings on there. Let Sasha's boo make us some cool stuff, too. I'm just saying. Let's just redo everything.
Like, I'm literally... I'm literally three months away from, like, okay, let me just
Rebel's pushing them leggings too, man. I'll let you girl, man.
I'm just saying. There are non-WWE places that have started selling them because WWE is just missing this market.
Yeah, spoiler alert, women love leggings, man. I told you, I'm wearing leggings.
We don't want to see you.
I'm wearing my leggings next week.
Are you going to wear some shorts with the
leggings? Next week, watch your boy.
Okay, just wear the shorts with the leggings.
Oh, I just legging it out. I just put all it.
Trying to contain him. Evan can't be contained.
She's trying to hold
me down.
He's
American sweetheart.
I'm bringing the leggings next week with this blazer on. Watch your boy. Listen, final story. Yo, okay. Now, we got to talk about the dance-off. You ladies enlightened me about the dance-off, but I wanted to get y'all's take on the dance-off. DJ, hit that clip, please. But it's crazy. I didn't know. My man was like, yo, Mac, you see the dance? I'm going to go between who and who? Can't nobody dance for Naomi. He's like, well, you got the one right. He goes, but now there's. I said, oh, he's like, Lon, I go, for real?
Have you not seen that on Total Divas?
Yeah, I mean, she massacred her on Total Divas, too.
That's what she does, man.
But no one will say that to Lana, I think.
I got no objectivity.
Lana is one of those people, and I know y'all have seen these people on Instagram and whatnot, who they're not doing a good job, but they think they're doing a good job, and you don't want to be the jerk who's like, you have no rhythm and you look terrible.
Yeah. Well, that's not completely. Like, she comes from a dancer's background, and they said she did ballet, which is a totally different...
Totally different style.
It's more stiff. So I did ballet for 15 years. It's totally different when you start.
You dance like that, TK?
It's totally different when you add hip hop in after the fact.
Yeah, it changes the game.
It's a little bit different. So I think, you know, these moves were added after her.
Look at that.
Ballet.
Did you see
treatment.
It? Did you see it?
Because ballet is a totally different craft.
Yeah.
It is. But we ain't balleting right now. We over here. This is supposed to be street dancing.
This ain't even Save the Last Dance style dancing, okay? I'm sorry, but no one will tell Lana, so I'll tell Lana.
Oh, damn.
You're not a great dancer, and that's fine. There are people who dance.
In that particular genre.
Spinneroonie, that was
a Spinneroonie, though. Who don't dance. What did they say in Guardians of the Galaxy? There are those who in the universe.
Tony in the booth has something to say.
Tony has a take. What's up, Tony?
Aren't they, like, supposed to be foreign? You know, maybe she's a good dancer in their in their land.
She's been doing this dancing for a while when she was in NXT.
She's not like European. Like, I mean, but she's been here long enough.
They all have accents though. I'm just gonna shut up.
Yeah. She looks up to Michael.
This is why I don't talk.
Yes. Yeah, we'll explain later.
She looks up to Michael Jackson. She's been doing the dance stuff for a long time now. No, I'm talking about Lana. Lana wants to be a little Michael Jackson. She had the hat and the gloves and everything originally. Like, this is something that's a really big, important part of her life. But more importantly, what year is it that we decided that the best way to get into this match was to have a dance-off segment?
It's what I always say. It's the way they... Listen, like I told you, I got to preface my statement again. I love the WWE, but they do not know how to write for brothers and sisters. They just don't, because they gotta do all this to get... Naomi is the best pure female athlete on the roster. Mm-hmm. Yeah, over Charlotte. Yes, over Charlotte, too. She just is. Like, she don't need to do this to get in any match. Mm-hmm. She can just bust somebody's head, to be honest with you. But then you're going to have her dial it back, too. That was her.
That was her C game right there. Yes.
And
she was like, make it more of a competition.
Yeah. I wonder if somebody's like, look, we know what you can do.
We're aware.
This is live TV, so we just need you to just make it look just a little bit better.
Naomi's entrance is better as a dance-off.
Real
we would talk. Still win her the dance-off.
And then she hits you with the Rude Awakening? You can't just do that.
yes, you can. Good. I'm glad. I wish it had happened a minute ago.
Yeah. Here's the thing. Like, I understand why they did it. I just don't like... One thing that annoyed me is the fact that they are doing it in their gear.
You're right. See that? Yeah, we're talking about that off air. Yeah. Like, it should have been. That's how you know they don't know how to write.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it's a street, it's a dance off, right?
Yeah.
They should have came in and been real funny, like with the B-boy clothes on, like the Adidas.
Had a piece of cardboard come out.
That'd have been hilarious, though.
Like it's legit. Like,
especially if Lana threw down the cardboard, though.
Yeah.
It'd have been hilarious.
And then, correct me if I'm wrong, when they did the wrap off, didn't they have like a whole bunch of people in their in each person's corner?
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, if you're gonna do, I don't know who wrote that or if somebody said this is what we need to do. But it's just like this. One, they should have had like just street clothes or some variation. And then I think also, as you guys already know, a lot of you guys know, I'm already kind of biased anyway.
You know me, I got no objectivity with that.
Yeah, so, yeah. So, it's just kind of like, I'm already like, why is this,
you know me.
Why is this even...
I think she's going to be champion for like 10 years straight.
Like, there's nobody...
She was such a good babyface champion.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean...
I want her to have that Bruno San Martino run, for real.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
Forever.
I mean, I hope it's... Anissa, I don't know if you've seen the chat, Tony,
oh, she
but
on?
Anissa said that it's a fake accent, just in case you didn't realize.
Yeah, Tony.
People are clowning you in the chat.
Tony,
well, I was fooled.
You were fooled.
For you,
oh, well, I've got some more accents for you then, Tony. Did you know I am
people
from the Belgians?
In the chat, Tony.
No.
I've got some chocolates.
Are they all rebels?
Shout out
over
to
there?
The Belgians.
Tony's going like, to be like, Sarah, you're from Belgium?
Yeah. Sure. I got them little shoes for you.
Oh my gosh.
Oh wait,
yeah.
That's Holland.
So like, damn, it really is. So
yeah.
You're not a fan of the dance hall?
No, well, no. Well, and it's
no, well, yeah. Well, no. Does anyone else get Idris Elba's song Dance Off stuck in their head every time we say the word
Idris
Dance Off?
Nope,
just me.
Man.
Okay,
boys,
sorry.
Man.
Okay, that's
right. My dude, man.
Play it later.
No, I just think I'd be curious to find out, and I'm sure if I dig around, I could probably find out how many people of color or women are in the writing room.
Just around. I want y'all to just be around the room while you're writing this.
Well, no, because I think the way WWE is set up is that, you know, even if they're around the room, you can't just like, hey, by the way, you can't.
Have you seen
like
McFoley's show?
God, no.
His son gets into the writer's room. Could say it didn't look like there were any people of color in there every time they showed the shot.
I've met a couple of the writers, and they were all of the same sex and the same... They might have been something else, but they all kind of...
Here's a pro tip if you're a writer.
Yeah, for sure.
You can write about other people who are different from you. Feel free to write them the same as you would write what you're used to writing.
Yeah.
Or go off to someone who, you know, has told you it's okay to ask this sort of thing and get some feedback.
Yeah, because it's a slippery slope. Like, my man, he writes like a web series and he wants me to be in the web series. And any time he's trying to write a black joke, if it's 5 a.m, I wake up and it's a text like, Evan, is this okay? You see, but that takes humility and that's respecting.
Right.
When you're writing for someone else, he's like, I don't get this. He's like, is this a funny black joke?
But there's
joke?
Some people who think that they get
and
it.
And they're wrong. Am I, it's comfortable. I'm like, Joe, this is not good, bro. This is not good. No, okay, I have a black guy dressing up in a Klan outfit.
It's not funny.
This is not funny.
All right.
This is not good, bro. He's like, okay, I'll reset. I go, yeah, reset.
So what we need is the WWE to call you.
Yes.
At 5 a.m.
I told you, Drake and WWE, call me. Is this black approved?
Hey,
no.
That's not.
No.
We'll talk about Drake later.
Just call me on my. Just call me.
You already know I'm Drake biased.
Tweet me.
Anyways, if you guys don't know what happened to Drake, then you've been living under a rock.
Just Google Drake.
Yeah. let's move on to the star of the week.
Women's Pro Wrestling Star of the Week.
All right, so Madison Rayne, she's currently signed to Impact Wrestling under the ring name Madison Rayne, which is what I just said. She began her wrestling career in the independent circuit, wrestling under the names of Ashley Lane and Lexi Lane. She also joined the all-female promotion Shimmer in 2007. She was one half of the first ever Shimmer Tag Team Championship. She is also, this is more dirt sheet stuff, so we'll leave that part alone.
Who's she dating?
she had a baby. She had a baby girl. She's also married to Josh Matthews, which I also found out he's from, he went to Oregon. I believe he's also Canadian.
I thought you were going to say something about Canada.
Yeah.
TK, real quick, point out which one is Madison.
She's the one, I remember you asking me that before. I believe she's the
she's
one
the one in
purple.
Blue. Yeah. That's Renee Michelle that she's wrestling with. She was on the Mae Young Classic and also wrestles here sometimes.
Great.
Wrestles here in like an AfterBuzz?
No, but at AfterBuzz, yeah. I see her at AfterBuzz wrestling all the time.
Yeah, I wrestle here too.
I miss that slobber knocker. Y'all gotta give tickets to that, y'all.
We've never called it a slobber knocker.
You gotta call it a slobber knocker, though. Ain't
no,
official.
Slobber knocker, son.
Not
like
if Renee Michelle is that.
It's a buzzer knocker.
Yeah, it sounds like
a buzzer knocker, brother. But
it's those all sound very sexual. Anyways, in March 2010, she along with Lacey and Velvet Sky won the TNA Knockouts Tag Team Championship, which with the three defending the title under the Freebird World. Nice. So also she's going to be on the show in a couple weeks, which
yay.
I put her on the star to watch, And then I think I hit her up the next day because I saw her. I finally got to watch Impact Wrestling because, you know, my wrestling, just watching wrestling is a job. And she hit me back immediately and she says she knows of the show.
Great.
She's a fan of the show and she would love to be on the show. So she's going to be on in the next couple weeks. And next week, we have a lot of good guests.
Yes, we do.
I'm really excited.
Like more than one?
We'll talk about it later,
Tony.
You going to give me a headache?
Would we ever?
I thought we always give you a headache.
Oh, that's true.
We were here like 2:30. Like, can we get in? Like,
I just forgot about it. I would pop like 20 pills back here.
Can we? Well,
moving on from that.
Yeah,
let's stay on that.
I know. Also a little fun fact I forgot to tell you to include in the news. Total Bellas, the ratings were down again this week.
Really?
So, and it's also been reported that they're back together.
Oh, slightly on that note, if you're looking, the Rise Women's Weekly Wrestling Series has come out on their subscription service too.
It's good stuff.
How much is their subscription?
I think it's $10. No, it's less than $10 a month. I think it's like $4.99 a month. I wasn't about to pay for it because I'm poor. But I wanted to, and I'm probably going to message someone to let me use their login.
Yeah. Get a weasel in there.
But it looks really interesting. Hearing all good things so far about the first episode.
Exciting.
I mean, maybe we'll work on it right on the tax
write-off. Yeah, come on. Get me in there.
So the poll is, Impact Wrestling is having their Under Pressure. It's going to be happening this week, I believe. So who do you think is going to win? Is it Allie or is it going to be Su Young?
I don't know. They've been building Allie.
They have.
I don't think you build for no reason.
Yeah, Impact seems to have more of a make sense.
Yeah, they're more focused on the interesting storylines. They're doing that old school thing, too, of like boyfriends, girlfriends, wives. Yeah.
So, yeah. Anywho, where can everybody find you?
I am everywhere across the seas, shining bright as Sarah the Rebel. Sarah's an H because that's the only way to spell Sarah.
Damn. God intended.
As God intended.
I'm your boy, Evan T. Mac, on Instagram and Twitter. How about your boy, Evan T. Mac? What up, TK?
I feel like you haven't added the America Sweetheart yet.
I was just gonna ask.
And it's crazy because I got shook because I just watched the movie with Julia Roberts and I looked there and she was looking at me through the DVD. I was like, yo,
tell her chocolate.
Yeah,
chocolate.
I was like, Julia looking real reckless right now at your boy, man. She's like, that's my nickname. I'm like, yo.
I feel like this flower goes really well with the nickname.
Yes, that's why I'm letting TK just set me up, man. I ain't never gonna call myself that. Wow. I'm scared, man. She's powerful.
She's powerful.
We gotta have a. Like in a movie, like forever, right?
Should we like exercise the demons of Julia Roberts from this man?
No, it's like a rom com. You gotta check it out. It's called Mother's Day. That joint's lit, man. I'm serious. Y'all gotta watch that.
How did you end up watching that?
Because I like a little bit of rom com every now and again, man. I'm a married man.
A married man.
Thank you, Tony. It's good. This thing got Jason Sudeikis in there, Kate Hudson, Julia Roberts. It's called Mother's Day. Check it, check out Mother's Day.
Are there dragons in it? I don't watch nothing without dragons.
This is a woman show. I'm trying to give y'all some stuff. That's a good rom com. Mm-hmm. And she was looking at me with hate in her eyes.
Cliff Washington says, TK, you know there's no people of color or women whose name is not McMahon.
Damn.
Yeah.
Well.
It's real talk, though.
Put me in, coach.
Listen, y'all call me, man. Y'all know my number.
I'll make you so much money.
Call me.
Well, I mean, at least they're not making the big mistakes, because I know Sean has always talked about regretting. I think they did a blackface thing like back in the day. Mm-hmm. So at least they're not making the major mistakes that a lot of other people are making.
Having Vince McMahon come up and say the N-word that one time. Yeah, they've gotten better.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
TK, you better stop bringing out Drake up in here. You brought up Drake again. She brought up Drake again. You hear that?
If you're confused, Google Drake.
She brought up a boy from Canada. Always and forever stand behind Drake.
Man. I stand for you.
Drake.
So if you want to have
Drizzy.
A standoff about what all that stuff is about.
Well, I'm from VA, so you know.
Yeah, just hit me
I'm
up
your
on the
pusher.
Just hit me up on the Twitter and we can discuss why this is it's not a big deal. Relax. Anywho, we thank you guys on the live chat for hopping on with us. I know we were an hour early.
Appreciate you.
We know we were an hour early, but we appreciate you. There's a lot of different shows out there. Trust me, I know. I watch majority of the good ones. And there's a lot of wrestling out there, but we appreciate you guys for tuning in, comments, all that good stuff. Like I said, I'm really excited about these guests next week and the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And the weeks leading up to SummerSlam. So, you know, definitely really love you guys for joining. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel, AfterBuzz TV, Wrestling and Sports. You can also give us a thumbs up on, why was I thinking Instagram? That's not the
thumbs
case.
Thumbs up everywhere.
On iTunes, all that good stuff. You can follow us on Twitter at WPW Weekly, also on Instagram. We're going to be, you know, doing some more stuff with our social media and all that good stuff. They have a little collage kind of working on.
Johan Pena! Shout out. I gotta shout him out.
Yeah, he's a great fan of the show.
I gotta shout him out every show.
I thought you were just yelling. I was like,
I thought you were yelling a pepper.
No, yeah.
It's a literal shout out.
They called a shout out. Yo, hot.
Yeah, but you just really just.
I thought he was like, yo, what up, jalapenos? Yeah. And I'm like, that's fair. If you like, you trying to get a sponsor by the jalapeno company.
Bosa, Dan,
yo, Tesla!
Jay
Will. Jay Will was good. I need some.
What's good, corn?
Yo, see, you guys are just going to
Farmers Association
stuff.
Of Corn.
You're just doing the food stuff. I want Tesla.
Shout out to Johan Pena.
Tesla, Nike.
We got Belled at our own show. Belled right on out.
Anyways, like I said, you guys can follow us on all our social media, all that good stuff.
Almost
like
forgot.
To use the comments on YouTube. And you can follow me on everything at TK Trinidad. I am on TMZ Talking Ish. Every day. And that's about it. We're going to see you guys next week.
Yeah.
Ciao. Bye.
From executive producers Kevin Undergaro, Maria Menounos, Phil Svitek, producer TK Trinidad, and me, Mark Donica, your voice of AfterBuzz TV Wrestling, we ask you to rate and comment on iTunes, subscribe to AfterBuzz Wrestling on YouTube, and find us on all social media. Thank you for watching Women's Pro Wrestling Weekly. See you next week.